Now that you've had a breath of fresh air, you can clear your mind so we can mind your business. Welcome to the Mind Your Business podcast with Dr. Shelley Crampton. This podcast is to explore some of the key words and develop a better understanding of what trauma therapy actually is. I, Michaela, will be your host along with LaShanda, the island therapist, and Dr. Shelley Crampton, who is a certified trauma therapist with a doctorate in community care and traumatology.
Safety. What is safety? In therapy, safety is a common word. It's a safe space mm-hmm. that you go to talk about your feelings, learn how to cope. But in trauma therapy, does safety mean something different than what just having a safe space? What does safety mean in trauma therapy?
I think that's a good question. I don't think it's trauma therapy specific. Okay. I think we all have to, as therapists, create a safe space, because most of the time our clients haven't felt that in life very often, you know? And so how do you build that as a therapist? So I can tell you how I build it.
So let me ask it this way.
Okay.
What does safety consist of? If I'm new to trauma mm-hmm. or any therapy mm-hmm. and you say, I'm hearing this, this is a safe space. What does that entail? What does the package mm-hmm. of safety mean?
That you feel comfortable, and safety's built and it's kind of earned, like trust. You know, okay. we know that you have to earn trust, right? So safety would include, I have a knowledge of you. I feel that you're competent. It starts with basic safety, right? That I feel safe in the environment. My body feels safe with you. Now, does that happen immediately? No, it's built. It's built. So some ways that we try to cultivate safety at the very beginning is just making you comfortable in the space, right? And then it's my job to build a relationship with you the best I can. That's why it's so important that you have a good rapport with your therapist, so that, you know, you're building safety within the relationship and within yourself. So how I cultivate it is I tell them enough about myself that I'm a human, you know, and that it's also how I attune to them. So attunement.
What does that mean?
Very good. Attunement means my, I'm sorry.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Good girl. Good girl.
My energy is matching your energy. And it doesn't mean some, you know, weird thing, but I am in tune with you, meaning I am hearing you, I am seeing you. What was that? Oh, was it your phone?
It was my alarm.
Oh. We were all like, what? Okay, sorry. Attunement. It's like I am with you and you feel that I'm with you. Is that you again?
That's not going to pop up on here. That part, I don't know how to turn off on my computer.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Mine does that too. When I was on a Zoom like yesterday, mm-hmm. I was doing that. That's funny. Okay, so sorry.
Attunement, I am with you.
Yeah, I am with you always. No, just kidding. No, but it is. It's being connected through the energy and flow. Okay? It's important. It's important that you know I'm there.
Okay.
How do you cultivate safety?
Initially, in my first session, not the intake, but like my first real session with the client, I give them 10 questions that they can ask me. Mm-hmm. And from that moment, I allow them to feel what it's like to be the therapist for a moment. I know nothing about you. Mm-hmm. And yet you come in here and I expect you to trust me immediately. Mm-hmm. And you're expecting me to ask questions that will change your perspective and change your life. Now, when you are given the opportunity to ask me 10 questions, the first thing is, what am I going to ask you? Mm-hmm. I'm humanizing what this process is like for you. Mm-hmm. I'm humanizing what it's like for me. And I allow you to feel that, even if it's just for a moment.
Right.
And halfway through that, most clients will literally ask, is this what it's like for you? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, this is exactly what it's like for me, but I also know what it's like for you too. because I've also sat in your position as well. Mm-hmm. That's one component of it. There's also this aspect of trying my hardest to understand the person's background and culture.
Yeah.
Because when you look at...
Super important.
I'm reading this book called Decolonizing Therapy by Jennifer.
I just bought that book.
Are you serious?
Yes, I really did.
I did not.
I'm reading.
Thank you for that.
I'm actually not more so reading it, but listening to it on Spotify. Track five, particularly, but that's probably the first part. But she talks specifically about how cultivating safety looks so different based off of a person's culture. It can go all the way back to either slavery or the migration of a person or the migration of their family. There's this aspect of, and she gives an example of this guy who goes to the emergency room. He is kind of overweight and he's trying to work on his weight. And his physician starts to ask him questions about his family. Eventually, he's in this therapy session. I'm really summarizing this because it's super long. He ends up in this therapy session and therapist asks him about his family and what it was like for them to migrate. He realizes the reason why he struggled with his eating habit was because in their culture, that whole thing that had to do with the Irish potatoes, right? It was a privilege to eat so that when you actually get food, you don't waste it. Being able to cultivate a safe space for him to say that and understand that this person knows my history and my background and knows my perspective and understand where I'm coming from. So I really try to dive as deep into their culture, their history, their understanding, what it's like for their family, how their family functions, because there's a lot of colonization that has happened in our therapeutic theories that don't consider the perspectives of other races and cultures and people. So I start from there, and then I bring up, and then I bring it to the person like, okay, so what do you need? Why are you here? You can tell me this is your problem, this is your issue, but what do you want to gain from this specifically? So it's a process, like, and that could take a long time. That doesn't just happen in one session.
No, one session we can
spend like an entire session just talking about your mother and how your relationship was like with your mother and how her relationship was like with her mother, and yet it still doesn't get to the emotional part of you. You know?
Well, it's hard to be vulnerable at the onset.
Yeah,
you have to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And in it, and like I said, that doesn't happen in one, two, sometimes 10.
Right.
You know, I've had it. I had one girl who would sit on the in the corner of the couch and not move at all, and the whole session, you know, I would say, could I move a little bit closer to you, and if that is going to bother you, I won't. You know, and I'm talking like feet. You know, like not proximity.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to earn that, you know, with her. And now she can talk freely.
What's funny is that reminds me of a supervision that I had a couple months ago. And I am a very, if you know me, I'm very affectionate. I'm a very touchy person. I love being around people. And it's something about when I get into that therapeutic space and I have to close the gap of the space. So my supervisor had sat in front of me. We probably were like maybe less than a feet apart, less than a foot apart. I looked at her, I was like, can you back up?
You're like, it's too close.
She's like, can you back up? I'm like, can you back up? She says, what's going on? This is too close for me. Her, what about this makes you uncomfortable? I know you to be an affectionate person. You love being around people, but something about this is uncomfortable for you.
Yeah.
Take that understanding into a therapeutic session. And somebody that's probably been traumatized and you're like, hey, I want to be all up in your space because I want to make you feel comfortable. But is this really comfortable for you? Me as a therapist, it's not even comfortable for me. And I want them to be able to say, or at least have that safety to say, no, I don't like that. Give them that voice in their sessions to say, I don't like this.
Absolutely. And I check in with that. Mm-hmm. You know, is it okay if I do this?
Mm-hmm.
How would you, what would you like for me to do? Would you like for me to sit closer? Would you like for me to get a little further away? Would you like for me, you know, what is, give me feedback.
But get away.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I don't like that. I don't like that. Don't get near me.
Sometimes you do.
Is that really how you?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
But you have to ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't just throw myself in there, you know, so you have to ask. And I think it's important. I think it's very important that you ask those questions and be open to the feedback. Mm-hmm. You've got to be not hurt by the.
Right? I think a lot of times if my therapist asks me a question like that or, you know, are you okay if I do this? Or are you okay if I stop and get a blanket real quick, like to make herself feel more comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because I don't get asked those questions.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, why the heck would you ask me that? Yes, get a blanket. Okay. But like, you're almost offended that they asked. Like,
so why would you? So tell me that. What would be offensive?
Not like, offensive, but just like, why do you feel like, mm-hmm. why do you feel like you need to ask me that? That is really bizarre.
So
just do what you need mm-hmm. to do, girl.
So ask yourself, why do you feel offended by somebody wanting to get your permission mm-hmm. to be okay in your session?
Ooh, right. That's what I'm saying. It's like it is very
that's
uncomfortable or weird because I've never been respected in that way.
Mm.
Do you know what
respect,
I'm saying?
That's the key word.
So not that, you know, my husband should ask me every time he needs to get up and get a drink of water. But like
please don't.
But like
please don't.
My therapist asked me that question. Mm-hmm. Oh, I left my water bottle over there. Do you mind if I grab it real quick?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it has to do with her wanting to me to know that she cares about what I'm saying, that she's not disregarding mm-hmm. what I'm saying, that my time with her is valued and she respects that. But it was very weird at first.
Yeah.
Like,
I can see that.
I've never mm-hmm. been asked that question and it makes me uncomfortable because why would you feel the need to do that? Mm-hmm. And then being longer in therapy, I'm like, oh, that's really sad that I've was offended by that or like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it was your attempt to protect yourself because it was abnormal for you to not have a voice.
Mm. Yeah.
And so when a therapist uses their voice, it sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very weird. It sometimes it'll still catch me like, why are you asking? Just do it. Just do it. Just, you want to kick your shoes off? Because mine are already off. I don't know. Can I do that? Are you yeah. okay that I
yeah.
did that?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't do that, obviously. But I like to do that when I can tell that they could interpret something wrong. You know, I, mm-hmm. there could be a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anything to come in the middle of the therapeutic process. Now, like I was telling you guys in our own private conversation earlier, I'm still a human. I say things I should not say.
Right.
I'm going to do that as a therapist. I'm not on a pedestal here. You know, I'm still a human being. And there are times, most of the time I'm not, that I get triggered, you know, where I'm like, oh, I've got to get that under control because I can feel that stirring up in me. And I want to do what I teach.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
I want to do what I teach.
How do you deal when your human needs shows up in a session? And when I say your human needs, for example, I'm gonna laugh at this. This week,
I already know what happened. I already know what happened. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
I told her when she told me, I was like, "You just have to be honest and be like my ADHD kid."
Oh no!
So I was in a session,
mm-hmm.
and this client, she was talking about something that was like really important, a little bit of tears, and like I'm listening to her
mm-hmm.
and I realize, oh my gosh, you have a sleeve that's so beautiful. And I jump right back into what she was saying, and she goes, oh yeah, you know, like this one, I got this, all of that. And I'm like, there's a part where I was like, oh my gosh, so sorry, but I was really listening to what you were saying. And that's when I have to check myself, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you might get comfortable with a client.
Sure.
based off of, you know, the energy that they give. Mm-hmm. You get comfortable yeah. based off of their personality. So how do you deal when your humanity shows up, even in the process of you cultivating that
safety? I think what you did is acknowledge it. Mm. Acknowledge it. You know, it's going to happen. But we're trying to build an environment that we can be human mm-hmm. and that you're allowed to be human. I am not as much allowed, but I'm sort of allowed. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. But I'll acknowledge it most of the time. Now, sometimes the session's over, they've come and gone, and I can't acknowledge it. You know, mm. I can't go back because, I've upset them, and I try to fix what I can. But it can't always be fixed, and that's okay, too. Mm-hmm. You know, my goal is always to create safety, though, and not to hurt people. But it is also to give you a perspective that you're afraid to look at sometimes, but you have to be ready for that. And can you do it too early? Yeah, because sometimes things sneak out too early. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they ask you the question, and I'm like, I don't know. What do you think about that? And then mm-hmm. it evolves into them having a realization that they think you said. You know?
And I'll be like, I did not say that.
I actually didn't say that. So what you're saying is I should leave my husband. And I was like,
That's not what I said. But what made you translate that mm-hmm. in that sense?
How did you get to that end? Yes, I like that. I like that. I said, how did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's okay that you heard that, but what made you think I said that? Because mm-hmm. let's talk about that.
Ooh, I'm the queen of that. I am the queen of hearing things that's not what was said at all.
I think you make them more palatable to yourself.
Oh, yeah. It's all about
yeah.
what I don't want to hear, but I want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Huh? My son's over there speaking up. What?
I said, you always say I do that. You go, you just hear what you want to hear.
Oh, I tell him, you just hear what you want to hear. Oh. Well, yeah, I say that to him because he's a product of me.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Remember, the first rule in speech communication is message sent. It's not always message received.
There we go.
Oof.
Because we're hearing through our own lenses and our own filters. You know, we're seeing through our own lenses and hearing through our own filters. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's from our own personal experience, our own broken places, our own trauma. It also can just be from our own humanity. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't help it. We hear certain things. So that's why communication is so important when your nervous system is more regulated.
Mm-mm. How do you deal with clients? I don't necessarily want to put this on the clients, but mm-hmm. let me explain it a little bit more. Safety doesn't just have to be a place.
Correct.
Right? It can be a person. Mm-hmm. It can be a thing. It can be an atmosphere. It can be the shirt that you have on. How do you deal with the client that makes you the only safety that they have?
Does not work. Now, at the beginning, you have to cultivate that somewhat mm-hmm. because you are co-regulating so that they are able to self-regulate.
Right.
Okay? So it's a delicate balance of you don't need me. You need you. Mm-hmm. And making sure that you are communicating, this is to build you, not to idolize me.
Right.
Not that anyone would need to do that.
Listen, I am on the very short list of people you should not idolize.
Well, no one probably should. Because we put people on pedestals mostly because we think they're perfect. But no one is. And then what happens? We devalue them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because we're like, oh, you weren't what I thought. Well, no one, they probably weren't trying to be that.
I just weaponize them.
Oh, sheesh.
You know what Shelly told me? You're an idiot. No.
I'm like, For all those out there, Shelley did not say that.
And this is
you
a
know what? Shanda told me.
This is a perfect example of Michaela hearing what she wants to hear and not what it said.
Yes.
Shanda said that you should take a shower.
You should.
That's probably what I really said.
That one's fair. That one's fair.
I might have said that for real.
No, but for real, it's that it's learning to listen and let them know you're there. I am present with you. So Dr. Siegel, who I'm in the interneurobiology class, cohort, excuse me, whatever it's called, he says that we should, as therapists, we have to learn to differentiate and link. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes the reason breaks or things happen is because we either haven't differentiated or we haven't linked. Okay, now, is that clear what that means?
Nope.
Or do I need help? Do I need to break that down?
No, I need help. You need to break that down.
It means that I am an individual. You are an individual and we are separate.
Okay.
I come with my set of beliefs. You come with your set of beliefs. Now, this is talking about communication, not necessarily the therapeutic process. Okay.
Okay.
So, like, in relationship, and differentiating means I am a separate thing from you. So while I can feel your emotions and understand your emotions and I'm with you in the energy of the moment, okay, I am still separate from you.
Like, I don't carry on that baggage.
I am not you. Mm.
But what if I want you to be right in it with me at all times?
Sounds like we need to talk about personality differences and disorders.
Shoot.
<I'm
playing. Yeah. laughs> Fine.
Somebody needs an MMPI.
Yeah, but just then we link. Well, and some other stuff. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, edit that. No, but that's your resistance. It's okay to have resistance. People think of resistance as such a bad thing. I don't think of it as a bad thing. I think of it as, like I told you, your protectors are coming out to protect you. Those things that we use as coping skills or have learned, our nervous system is keeping us safe. Sometimes our safety doesn't allow for connection, though. That's why we're trying to get back to the ventral vagal green zone. Because we need to connect. Because life is pretty terrible if you don't connect.
It can be. It can be kind of nice to be nice and isolated, too.
You are endorsing bad behavior now.
What's going on with you today?
Yeah.
Just today specifically. I like how...
Feeling a little frisky today.
She is.
I like how PB says it. You know, life happens in circles, not rows.
Mm. Who says that?
PB, Pastor Ben.
Oh. So the bottom line is we're talking about safety, right? And we're talking about how we cultivate that. But, you know, the goal is that you cultivate safety within yourself because that's what's been missing.
Right.
You know, there was a series somewhere in your life of ruptures and no repair. Mm-hmm. So once you have rupture and rupture and rupture and rupture, someone has to come in, and it's usually yourself reparenting yourself when you're an adult. And that's also the goal of the therapist, is to help you find how to repair a rupture within you. You know, there's an internal rupture sometimes, and then there's an external relationship rupture. Sometimes those can't be repaired.
Yeah.
But you have to know how to repair that within yourself sometimes. So I think that's the importance of safety and all of those things, is you're kind of helping the brain reorganize itself around attachment, okay? And that's something we probably need to talk about at some point, is what part does attachment play in all of this therapy.
Mm. That sounds like a good topic for next week.
Yeah.
Attachment. And what is that, and how does it play a role in therapy?
Okay.
I like that.
I like it too.
You like it too, Miles?
Yeah. Okay. All right, Miles agrees.
All right.
Happy birthday, Miles, by the way.